Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, wouldn't you know, a lot of dads getting in about that whole seatbelt thing. And kids riding up front. And car seats, I should say, not seatbelts. Yeah, there you go. And maybe they'll be in the podcast later. Are the Browns a mess?
Wait, what?
You had a conversation. You had a conversation with your buddy Tim. Who, Tim is not a football coach. His brother's like a head football coach,
yeah.
Right? Tim's a good guy. And you were talking to Tim. The reason I like Tim, because he's one of your friends that are, he's well-to-do, but he's more regular than all your other friends.
Some he also
other
pushes friends are, back at all my nonsense.
Yes, which I like about Tim. He's a very, very good man. Hopefully he's hearing this. And he said something to you, and I was talking to you yesterday while we were both driving all over Northeast Ohio. And you said you had a conversation with him. Let me get this straight. He goes, you know, I just don't get it. People keep saying the Browns are a mess, and he just doesn't understand why. And I think I agree with Tim, but you're better explaining
so
this than I am because you were the one having the conversation.
There's been a total pile-on in the last few weeks. Obviously, fans around the NFL are trying to celebrate the demise of the Browns because all they've heard about the Browns the last few years is here's the team on the come up. Here they are, all this young talent. And then I don't know if the Browns, were they likable? Were they not likable? I think it depends on if you like Baker Mayfield. If you didn't like Baker Mayfield, you thought they were a hateable team.
A lot of people outside of Cleveland and Oklahoma did not care for Baker.
Did not care for him. So you had that. Then they got rid of Baker, which you would think, hey, that would make them more likable. Oh, they went after the guy with the pending civil suits and a lot of baggage, potentially, with Deshaun Watson. And then you give them the guaranteed contract. Well, now everybody's rooting against you. Even if their team went after you to begin with, went after Deshaun Watson to begin with, and many of them did, a third of the league went after Deshaun Watson, it would have been more had certain teams even been on the trade list, I guess you would say. You know, teams like the Colts would have gone after him.
Yep.
So, obviously, now it is Cleveland against the world. And so I'm having the conversation because all these people are enjoying this demise of the Browns. And now Kareem Hunt wants to get traded. Look, it's the same old Browns. And, you know, we didn't go crazy yesterday on the Kareem Hunt thing. Yes, the Deshaun Watson thing is obviously
because we felt the Kareem Hunt thing was coming. Watson, I've been a little bit up and down and angry with
because
we can't get none of this has been in a reasonable time fashion. I mean, none of this has been on a good timetable. And people, and the worst thing is that if you complain about it, people say tough bleep. Like, it's my fault. I don't understand why. And I think a fan feels the same way. Like, why are you yelling at me for being upset with the time?
The fans did nothing wrong. Yeah. The fans are always going to be loyal end up rooting for their team.
According to someone from Barrett Sports Media, I'm not supposed to say that. I'm not supposed to say nice things about Browns.
You fell short.
I fell short.
And this show fell woefully short. And quite honestly, the Pittsburgh radio also fell short.
As I said something.
Notably, Andrew Filippone.
We all said something that you, me, and Pony and Mueller all said things that we actually mean. And for some odd reason, that didn't sit well for that guy. So whatever.
But we did fall short. Either way, when all is said and done in this conversation, I mean, you and I have been on the same page on this. This thought that the Browns are in disarray, yet it's not pretty right now, and it sucks that all these other fan bases are excited about their teams going into the season. And while we should be excited because we know we're one of the most talented teams in the NFL, we know that this team is loaded, right, and should absolutely be able to contend and maybe go to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
we're sitting here waiting on one pretty key decision and not even knowing when that decision is coming down and what it means for the football team. But it doesn't mean this team is in disarray.
Who's a successful QB that you didn't like coming out of college while we've been on the air? Is there anybody that you could think of right off the tippy top? I know I just put you in a weird spot. Think of a name. Herbert? Did you not think much of Herbert?
Well, I probably didn't think Patrick Mahomes was going to be good. I mean, come on.
All right, I'm going to write that down. Come back to it here in a second. Usually I'm by myself on this because I usually think I am, but you like Deshaun Watson coming out of college. You wanted the Browns to take him coming out of college. Mm-hmm. You are definitively on the record about that. So now they have him, and I feel the same way you do. Now, usually it's me being a homer and putting on my Browns glasses to some people, but I go, he's not banned for life. We're not talking about him being banned for life. Now, I don't want to lose this season either.
No.
And that's why it's like, well, we got to kick the tires on the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff. We got to talk about other quarterbacks out there. We have to do this because I think if you ask Brissett to do 12 games or an entire season, it's going to lead you down a bad path there. I don't want to lose Kevin Stefanski. I don't want to lose Andrew Berry. And I think that if you lose games in a year you're expected to win, even knowing what we know and knowing that it probably wasn't going to come out in an advantageous way, people make rash decisions. Owners, Jimmy Haslam is prone to making a rash decision. So I don't want that to happen. So I want what's best for this season. But I can't sit here and call it a mess. The guy's going to play for him. It's not where he's never going to play for the Cleveland Browns. Unless something terrible happens, he's not going to play. He's going to play for the Cleveland Browns. He's going to play for them. So when you say, well, they're a mess, are they? It's the best team. It's the best quarterback they've had in 20 years. I told you. I went out there and I said, it's a shame. I didn't know what I was watching until I actually saw him throw. It's the best quarterback they've had in 20 years. Easily. Underline, easily the best quarterback they've had in 20 years. He's going to play for them probably, if not this year, next year he's going to play for them. So you'll have another year with Myles Garrett. You have another year with Nick Chubb. Like, say the worst comes to worst, he doesn't play this year. Should have another year with Nick Chubb, even though, you know, we get nervous about those things. It still should be a competitive team. It just shortens everything else out there. But I would look at it and go, hey, a lot of people had hope for Baker Mayfield. Did anybody really think we were going to be in a better position with Baker Mayfield? And they do not seem to be as upset in the locker room, even with all the things that we're upset about. It's not that they're upset with anything in the locker room that they were last year. What is...
Well, look,
I'm not saying it's great for this year,
I do have concern. I do have concerns about this year, especially if the suspension's longer than we would have wanted it to be. I do have some anxiety about what a letdown that is psychologically for the team. You got guys like Jadeveon Clowney who came here because of one guy, and that's the quarterback. And how is he going to respond? How are other guys going to respond this year when all of a sudden... You know, it's Jacoby Brissett, and what if they don't get off to the good start that we think the schedule should all dictate that they get off to? Then could it go off the rails? Could things get worse and steamroll? Sure, of course that can happen. But then guess who comes in for the rescue the following year? An elite quarterback, a guy that's one of the best in the game. I just don't understand.
So
yes, it doesn't look great right now. It does not look great. We can all be honest about that.
Not good at all right
now. But I mean, Valley Joe, the Browns are a mess. The QB is looking like an indefinite suspension. We're getting Jacoby Brissett for a whole season. Oh, and we have no first-round picks for the next few years.
Okay,
it
but
is
if
a
I
mess.
Don't make that move, let's go down the road if we would have had Baker Mayfield. Now, there were people who knew that he's not that great of a quarterback and he's not that bad of a quarterback. He's somewhere in the middle, right? Right. The other people were totally lying to themselves. They either thought he was the worst quarterback who ever lived or they thought he was the greatest thing ever, and both those people are lying to themselves. So they probably would have had, if he were healthy, and I know he started out very, very well last year, but if he were to be healthy going into this year, they probably would have had somewhere around the same type of thing. Great. So what does that do? You have a quarterback that in the back of people's heads, they do not believe he can lead them to a Super Bowl. They do not believe that they can go on long runs for a long time. And then you're in a position, even with your first-round picks, you're not going to trade up for any of the quarterbacks coming out. And I can't guarantee anything about any of the quarterbacks coming out. Yes, C.J. Stroud looks great. Yes, Bryce Young looks great. There are guys that we talk about, we don't talk about, who will be at the top of the draft board next year. And you ain't going to get any of them. And then you ain't going to get any of them the next year. Like, I have a guy, no matter what anybody wants to say, I have a guy who's proven to be an elite quarterback in the NFL who at some point will play for me. So it's either I got to bite the bullet now or I got to do it later. And do we want to go through the quarterback rigmarole? Well, maybe because we don't like talking about unsavory things, myself included. Maybe some people would be more comfortable with that. I can't fight their feelings. But I don't think because of the position that we have all said that every single general manager wakes up and thinks about every day. And if they have it, they feel good. And if they don't, they're finding ways to try to find it and try to get it. If we have that position, then no, we are not in a worse position than we're not a bigger mess than where we've been in the past. It is not good right now. As of August 9th, things ain't great. I don't know if he's going to play on Friday. Because the NFL, I don't know when the NFL is going to actually come out with their decision. If the NFL comes out with their decision, then we can talk about that. If he's going to play at all this year, we'll talk about that. How much he should play on Friday, if he should play on Friday, any of those other machinations. That's not good. That is not good. But overall, I think we're being a little bit crazy with the whole M word. 216-578-0092. Are the Browns a mess? 820. Jason Lloyd, also, knowing what we missed, might be the worst punishment yet. Ken Carmen, Tone Master General on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jason Lloyd, 820. We'll talk to him about what he may or may not know about all the things going on with the Browns. It's from the New York Times. Lyman was telling people he was dead last week. He was not dead. He was on vacation.
I'm really curious to see what he has to say regarding...
I'm really curious to see if he has a pulse.
If he actually joins the show and has the guts to get on here. He's been dodging.
He should come in studio. Why isn't he in studio?
I don't know. Monkeypox? I'm not sure. So he said...
Easy.
He did say...
Easy.
In his article, when the Sue Robinson suspension came down, that it was six games, when we thought, oh my God, that's a win. That's a total win. He said, the Browns said they did their due diligence, and this proves them to be right. And then like a day later, we're like, no, he could still get a year. And so does that change the scope of how the Browns approach this? Because this gets back to our question about whether they're a mess, because you and I are in agreement that we don't think they're a mess at all. Now, how they handle this season, especially if they don't get much of Watson at all, how they handle it is going to be very telling and very interesting.
You wanted a quarterback that got the quarterback. How can I call him a mess? You wanted a franchise guy. We've been begging them to have a franchise quarterback for 20 years. They got the quarterback. How can I say they're a mess? It's not good right now. They might not have a great season. That is all true. All true. But I can't say they're a mess when they got the quarterback. And he's going to play for them. Not like he's never going to play. He will play in a Browns jersey and play football for them. Now, if he goes out there and he forgot how to play the game and he's just terrible, I guess we'll kind of have to come back and reevaluate this question. But you and I hold hands on this, I mean, figuratively. We don't believe that they're a mess. Are the Browns a mess? 216-578-0092. Eric in Akron. Eric, hello.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
I don't see how you guys don't see it as a mess. So, Ken, I agree with almost everything you said.
But
the question is now a matter of value. So we did all this to go get Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson potentially may not play this year, and we don't have any first-round picks for it. Mm-hmm. And then let's say we go get Jimmy G, and we have to give up a fourth, a third, a fifth, whatever, a player. Now we're giving up even more for what amounts to a conditional fifth-round pick for Baker. So going into next season, you say, well, this guy's going to play. It's not like he's never going to be in a – okay, cool, he's going to play. I get that. But also understand our team could momentously shift next season because we have no idea how we're going to do the salary cap next season. So, I think
the team has a pretty – I do think Andrew Berry and Paul DiPodesta have a pretty good handle on what they're going to do with the salary cap next season. You and I may not. I'm not going to claim I do. I think they do. I do trust – I mean, I trust him to be pretty good at math, Eric. Of all the things that maybe people don't trust him, I do trust him there.
Let's hope for all our sake. But as far as this season, yeah, it's important. I mean, if they don't do well this season, at very least, the Stefanski's in trouble.
That's another problem because I like Kevin Stefanski. That I can't fight. I'm a fan of Kevin Stefanski. And I want him to do well.
Well, the
He's
big
clearly
what if,
going to do well with the quarterback.
Yeah, the big what
with
if
a better quarterback.
That I think is very interesting. And I know some people are going to say, oh, why are you bringing this what if? This is calamitous. Is if Baker Mayfield has a really good year. If he has a bounce back season.
All right, that's another technical.
And then you get no Deshaun Watson. But this isn't about this year. NFL front offices don't look at just 1 year. If NFL front offices start looking at 1 year at a time, then
he's going to get fired.
Then they're going to get fired.
Jobs.
It is even John Dorsey talked about, all right, here is our plan for this year. Here's our plan 3 years from now. Here's our plan from 5 years from now. That's how good front offices are supposed to operate. That's how all front offices in all sports. It's never about just this year. It's about flexibility over the next however many years. And if this goes right, here's how we're building this.
Would you feel differently if it were you didn't like Patrick Mahomes?
No, I said coming out of college. Like, I didn't think he was going to be some good, really good quarterback.
Would it be different if it were him? Like, say it were him who had all these things against him, like Deshaun Watson and all this stuff. Would it be different for you?
Well, because he'd be seen as more of a guarantee?
I don't know.
Because I thought Watson's pretty close to a guarantee that he's going
to
be good.
I tried to take a quarterback who you didn't like coming out and tried to turn it into, well, they've been a successful quarterback.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But it's also the time where, like, hey, I didn't really like Deshaun Watson coming out, but we also have the advantage of new information. I have new information, and so would you. You didn't like Patrick Mahomes coming out. I was lukewarm because of the little Texas Tech thing.
Oh, Josh Allen. How about Josh Allen?
Okay, Josh Allen.
God, I saw Josh Allen his second year in Cleveland. He looked awful. He looked like he didn't belong in the NFL.
Like a drunk driver. I would think if Josh Allen came to Cleveland now, he's a veteran quarterback in the NFL. He knows what he's seeing out there. I'd feel better about it. If Mahomes were the same way, if Deshaun Watson obviously is the same way, then I would feel better about things. So they're all veteran quarterbacks. If they're all facing the same things that Deshaun Watson is facing, I would look at you in the eye and go, well, Josh Allen's eventually going to play for the Browns, and so would Patrick Mahomes, and so would quarterbacks A, B, and C. They would all eventually play for the Browns. That was this whole fight over the last 20 years is to get a franchise quarterback. And every time we had a chance, we just tried to reinvent the wheel. And then the time that we didn't try to reinvent the wheel, we took the wrong guy. A lot of people thought he was the right guy, but we took the wrong guy, clearly. No doubt about it. You had pick number one, and no, I still think that Josh Allen might not be arguably the best quarterback in the NFL going into year five. Talent seems to override everything, so I'm probably wrong in that case anyway. But I can't deny that you took the wrong guy. You have another year, if this is all true, you might have another year or most of another year where you have to work on this. Would there be any change to it being a mess if you only had a 12-game suspension for Deshaun Watson then? Because then you lose a year on the contract. Like, if he's gone for an entire year, and I know we'll do this later, but if he's gone for an entire year, you got a full 5 years, I would imagine. So the contract would toll. So at least I have 5 years to kind of offset what I'm losing there with the other salaries moving up. Would that make any difference to it being a mess? Because if I get 12 games for Deshaun Watson, and then we're out of the hunt by the time Watson comes back to play, we're having some very awkward conversations that people are going to remember from August 9th going, well, you guys said it wasn't a mess, and here we are. It's probably a mess. That would throw some things off. But I can't guarantee what Peter Harvey's going to decide right now. That was a total miss. I'm sorry. I can't say what Peter Harvey's going to decide right now. So as of right now, I can't say it's a mess. It's not a good look. Everybody in the NFL, Cleveland's hammering
even
us,
if,
but what are you going to do?
Even if Harvey says indefinite, okay? Indefinite suspension means he has to apply for reinstatement. Let's say that's a year from now. He's going to be in the NFL a year from now. Like, he's not getting 2 years. This isn't Trevor Bauer. Now, we can talk about whether the Trevor Bauer thing had any kind of an impact, but he's going to play football a year from now. And then, I mean, if it's a year suspension indefinite, then you still get him for the 5 years of the contract,
yeah,
at least. So I don't know. I guess it comes back to a central question. For all the people that think that if that this was a mistake to go after him, you'd rather have healthy Baker Mayfield. My question is, what's worse? What's worse? Is it having Deshaun Watson and having to defend him with all the baggage and everything eventually, maybe a year from now? Mm-hmm. Or is it going up against Deshaun Watson, which you very easily could have done? Would you rather play against him and have him beat you? I mean, I help explain to me what would be worse.
In a year?
Forget about the morals and ethics and all that. Set that aside for just the sake of the conversation, because he's going to be in the NFL. They're not banning him for life.
I would think it would be better to have Deshaun Watson than to play against Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it'd be great if we had, you know, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, you know, Patrick Mahomes, but you don't. And hell, Russell Wilson, you went after him according to reports, but he wouldn't have waived his no trade, so it's a moot point.
Mm-hmm. 216-578-0092, Mike in Cleveland. Mike, hello.
Guys, how y'all doing?
We're doing okay, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay, this is my question. I've been blessed to serve in the military, and I've been all over this country. And like I talked to y'all guys before, and I'm happy to be home and listen to a local Cleveland radio show. My question is, I feel like the Cleveland narrative is always set by a national narrative. So you know how they say, like, all politics are local. I feel all sports are local, except here in Cleveland. It's like we take what the national media say and we run with it. You know, like, we got our own people who know what's going on in Cleveland, but we'll let somebody from Yahoo Sports, forgive me, tell us something about our team, and we'll run with it. For instance, like, everybody's mad how the Browns restructured Deshaun's contract. The Patriots did that for Brady in Deflategate. Nobody said nothing. You know, Sean Payton gets suspended for trying to hurt somebody, and the city stood up for their team. Like, they backed their team. We don't anything. Whether it's football, basketball, baseball. If I coach didn't want to pick an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator right now, oh, my God, the national media would be killing us right now.
I really think it's totally different. I think that we fight the national media all the time. I really do. Well, I think the fan base does all the time.
Y'all do. I love y'all guys. I listen to y'all. Then once y'all go off, I cut it off. God forgive me. But everybody else, no. If the national media says something about us, we take that. Like, we would shoot down Mary Kay, but we won't shoot down this guy from, once again, Yahoo Sports, mm-hmm, who's dogging our team, who's probably never been in the building, never talked to nobody. And I know Mary Kay loves to keep the drama going.
Now I understand you. Here, see, this is the thing. Now, Mary Kay, you brought up Mary Kay. I'll tell you about Mary Kay here. Mary Kay is charged to cover the Cleveland Browns. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it is. Other writers, they come in. Charles Robinson, who I respect immensely, and I've never even met the guy. Charles Robinson covers all 32 teams, covers the agents, covers the coaches, everything. So when he flies in, well, this must be big stuff because Charles Robinson here, Peter King is here, Breer, Rappaport, all these guys. But Mary Kay is in it every single day. And Mary Kay's had to tell you a lot of things that we don't want to hear, and a lot of it's ended up being true. So we discount what Mary Kay says automatically because we've had to read a lot of things that haven't been so good that what Mary Kay has had to report, because they ain't been good, and then we look at some of the other ones where – We've heard it before. You're always going to find a guy. Anytime we get a new head coach, there's always going to be Mike Pettine is changing the culture with the Cleveland Browns. Freddie Kitchens is changing the culture with the Cleveland Browns. So we tend to want to run with that until they say something nasty about our favorite teams, and then we go in another direction, Mike.
True.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of – and Mike, I got to let you go, and I thank you very much for the call and listening. But I think that's the truth is – you know, Mary Kay has told us some things that we didn't want to hear, myself included didn't want to hear, and I have discounted her in the past, and I've ended up being wrong in the past. I think we all have. And I think it's that way with a lot of writers here in Cleveland. And we have Mary Kay on every Thursday at 8:20, and there will always be people who love it and know that it's good information, because it is, and there's people who can't stand it because they don't want to hear bad news about the team. And I don't want to hear bad news about my team. And so we tend to latch on to some of the other ones that we feel kind of swoop in about things.
I think most, I know it's reflexive and it's anything. It's sports, it's politics. If somebody is reporting on something that seems to be against your team or is telling you that your team might be having a bad day, a bad month, a bad decision, a bad hire, then yeah, reflexively, you're going to fight that every single time. As far as like the drama stuff, I mean, man, you got to know the difference between like journalism and editorial. Like when Colin Cowherd is saying, you know, you made a bad draft pick. Well, that's a commentary. He might talk to some GMs opinion. In the league, but it's an opinion. But when Mary Kay or somebody nationally is telling you that
somebody told her
Johnny Manziel, there might be something going on behind the scenes, or Odell Beckham and Baker might be going on behind the scenes. Yes, reflexively, you're going to fight that tooth and nail because you don't want to hear that something that you've conjured up in your mind can't possibly be true already. I understand that. But in the end, they're typically right. All the stuff Jason LaCanfora used to say. Now, notice, Jason's not saying anything about your Browns because he might not have a source. He might not have somebody inside the building right now.
Seems to be more Baltimore now. Kind of stepped away from that national platform.
But when he was writing about dysfunction in your front office, he had people from the Browns telling him that. And it turned out he was pretty accurate. And you guys used to get mad every time we had somebody come on.
I blocked him.
And Ken blocked him.
I got mad. I got that mad. I blocked him. I was in a shoot. We were first starting the show, and I was in a shoot over that. It's the same thing. When it comes to opinion even, too, like we did this whole thing where I told people, why do you guys focus so much on Colin Cowherd when he's not on in the market and the only place he's actually on is on TV and doctor's offices when you're at the waiting room? That's it. But we're all focused on everything he has to say. Because it was all, we get worked up about that stuff, and he knows we get worked up about that stuff. And now that Baker's gone, what's he really say? He says things that a lot of people tend to agree with when it comes to the Baker aftermath with the Cleveland Browns. A few things that I think have probably been pretty much on the mark when it comes to the Watson case. And last year, we couldn't stop saying great things about Rich Eisen because he was defending Baker Mayfield. He was right. Defending the Cleveland Browns.
And now?
And then on vacation, he nailed him to the wall, and people can't stop saying terrible things about Rich Eisen. From that national perspective, it's only natural that people, when they hear what they like, they're going to go after
think,
it, or they're going to love it. And when they hear what they don't like, they're going to go after the
and
person.
And nothing against the last caller, who's obviously lived all over the country, and I appreciate his perspective. But I've kind of found that, you know, people do care about what national media say everywhere. They do. You hope the national media says good things about you. But even when they do say good things about us, like they did a couple of years ago, and everybody picked us in 2019 to do really big things, right? Didn't end up working out. I don't know. I can't figure out sometimes if Browns fans want the national media on your side, want them against them to have the chip on the shoulder, or want them saying nothing at all.
I don't know. It's kind of fun to stick it to some of the national folks at times. Browns training camp updates brought to you by Lake Tech Information Technology Services and Bud Light. Jason Lloyd in just over 40 minutes. And knowing what we missed... it's quite possibly the worst punishment yet. Ken Carmen, if
selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Can you line me here on the fan? I know we had a huge, big fight last week, but we got to agree with each other again. You saw the new illegal excuse me, the now emphasis on illegal contact that's going to happen. It's not a new rule. It's the same rule. An emphasis now on illegal contact. They want to call it more. Even less defense.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I just don't understand the point of that. Offense right now, it's exciting, whatever. It absolutely is. I mean, teams move the ball. Look at the yardage. Everything is way up. But is this what people really want? Do they just want more offense, more offense, more offense? Like, I think in the NBA, we were loving offense until we're like, this is turning into a three-point shootout.
I got to have some
defense. This is becoming too easy.
I got to have some defense. I can't just make it that easy on quarterback. At some time, we have to look at this and go, there's got to be a little bit of defense here, right?
Like go back to when I first started watching the NFL in really the late 80s and the early 90s. You look at it, I was joking with you the other day on how I remember John Elway would do a quick kick. Do you know what a quick kick is? It doesn't happen anymore in the NFL. A quick kick, it's like 3rd and 12. Maybe just got sacked on the previous play. You're at your own 25-yard line, maybe 20-yard line, and you give up. You punt the ball.
It's like a half punt.
You punt the ball back to, yeah, because the other team doesn't have a punt returner back. And if you punt it the right way, you flip the field. They would do that on third down. Compare that to what Brandon Staley's doing on fourth down at his own 15-yard line.
Fourth and 20 at your own 15.
Yeah, I'm going to go for it.
We're going to go for it.
Like, the game wasn't that aesthetically pleasing back then. Yeah, the hitting was cool, and guys got lit up, and we all loved that. Absolutely. Like, we loved the defense. But it was third down, max protect, run the ball on first and second down. It wasn't a great brand of football. But now they're flipping it almost too much the other way.
There is that video I told you I saw, and it was from the early 90s, and it was at the Meadowlands, and it was, I think it was from Big Blue VHS on Twitter, who it's nothing but Giants highlights. And the Giants kick a field goal, and they're like, you had Pat Summerall calling it the game winner, and there's like 1 minute, 15 seconds left. And Joe Bugle shouldn't lose his job for this. It's like, what, minute 15? A minute 15? That's the game. They've won it. A minute 15.
Buffalo gave the Chiefs the ball back with 13 seconds left
exactly,
in that game. And they left him to it.
It was run credits. Tell everybody where Pat Summerall got his suits. We'll send it back to New York. Like that, with a minute 13 left. Well, that's it.
That's it.
And I know that we can't go back to that because that kills the fun. That kills the
anticipation. By the way, all of John Elway's big comebacks were like 7 minutes left. How did he orchestrate a game-winning drive with seven minutes? There are 8 possessions
in 7 minutes now. John Elway somehow brought this team back from 6 down with 14:31 left to go in the fourth quarter.
I mean, everybody counted them out.
Like, you gotta have some defense. It
so
can't
where's
all be
the
defense.
Balance? Bring the balance.
I think
back.
The balance is right where it is right now. When you're talking about 13 seconds, Chiefs, Bills, Mahomes, Allen, two of the best quarterbacks in the league. Two of the best quarterbacks in the league. Like, I don't want it to get to a point where bad quarterbacks get a little. Everybody gets lucky. Everybody has a little bit of luck. I don't want it to where we're looking at quarterbacks talking about how they get lucky. And we do that in natural arguments all the time. But if we're just going to do illegal contact and leave it in the hands of the refs, you're going to have basically every fan base in the NFL really, really mad. Because it's going to happen to us. We'll have some stupid illegal contact against a team that is not good, against a quarterback that sucks, that we should have lost or we should have beat and then we end up losing to, and it's going to be over that. And then we have to do the Monday show, Tone, that you hate, about whether or not the fix is in against the Browns. Right. And this year would be even more so because, well, everybody in the NFL hates the Browns. I'm not a fan of it at all. I agree with you. I wish I disagreed with you on a lot of things today. I agree with you 100% on that. Peter in Cleveland Heights, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Peter.
I completely agree with you guys. And they're only going to call this one way. They're not going to call illegal contact on offensive players.
Exactly.
Like, you know,
oh, they'll do it. No, you know what, Peter, real quick? They'll do it in the first, like, 2 weeks of the season, and people will
right.
be like, whoa,
yeah,
finally.
Preseason, they'll
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
Someone will have, like, a big tight end will be pushing off in the end zone, and they'll say illegal contact, offense, number 87. but they won't call that in the playoffs.
No. You can run any pick play you want in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. You can bring an extra offensive player on the field to set a pick, and they'll allow it. Wow, what a great play call.
Like, I love scoring, but if a guy catches a ball and the defender hits him as soon as he catches the ball, that doesn't automatically mean he's a defensive receiver. It means the defender did his job and hit him when he caught the ball and dislodged the ball. And, you know, I love scoring, but defense is also part of the game, and it is an important part of the game because it's how you win games, is you stop other teams from scoring. And kind of handcuffing the defenses this much, it's going to be frustrating for everybody.
I know we love to say, Peter, and thank you for the call. I'm one of the truthers about it. I think that fans say they love tough defense. I think you only love tough defense when your offense is still good. If your team sucks – usually a team that sucks, they're going to be better, a little bit better defensively than they are offensively. Because it's that if you can't move the ball in 2022, I mean, your offense really sucks, considering every single rule goes against the defense. So they kind of pride themselves on defense, and I just think it's a faulty notion. I go, yeah, if you had the greatest quarterback in the NFL and the guy was throwing for 600 yards a game, you would love to be air whoever your favorite football team is. But since you don't have that guy, you pride yourself on defense, defense, defense. And I think places that have better high school football, and we are one of the places, I think those areas, if you notice, pride themselves on defense. I think it's become a bit of a loser's lament over time, but I have to have some defense. I have to have good plays on in the secondary, pressure up the middle, pressure around the corner. Like, it's still supposed to be a back-and-forth game where complete teams win. Now, I get to see a little bit more of it because you go back to Georgia this last year. That's where the love of college football is there because there is still room for good defense in college football. But in the NFL, we're just going to call illegal contact that much more. The caller, Peter, is exactly right. They might call a few on offense at the beginning of the season, but that'll go by the wayside, and it's going to be all on the defense. And we're going to end up being frustrated in a couple of these games. And it might be fair because every team's going to be frustrated, but I don't think it's better football. I think their mix that they have right now is probably as good as it gets, where the best quarterbacks give each other a chance to win in its final possession. Now, you might not even like that, but I think that that's the best mix. I don't want to rig the game where bad quarterbacks are able to get lucky and have arguments where now I think we filtered out the bad quarterbacks.
Well,
I think
isn't
it's tougher
it, yeah.
than ever to be an elite quarterback in the NFL. I think the argument's really fun.
Yeah, it's amazing. You have to go down to like the 20th quarterback can easily throw for 3,500 yards now. That was not the case when we were young. It was hard to throw for 3,500 yards. If you threw for 4,000 yards, that was an all-time historic season.
Bingo.
Now, last year, there were 12 guys around 4,000 yards. This is a different game.
They're better athletes. They're better quarterbacks, but you can't say the rules. Obviously, the rules have been changed, and I think it does affect it to a negative aspect.
Tom Brady, I know there were 17 games. Tom Brady threw for 5,300 yards last year.
Ari Wasserman.
Wait, come on. That's a real number?
Ari Wasserman, 920. Bronze training camp updates brought to you by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy in Menor. Jason Lloyd, 820. And knowing what we're missing out on might be the worst yet. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.